This is Together, an Ada Bible Church podcast about the world of marriage, where we attempt to invite you to explore the ways marriage works and doesn't work. From practical ways of learning to biblical inspiration, we invite you to listen to other professionals and couples to help enrich your marriage.
All right, welcome to Together. Greetings, listeners. This is Andy Donaldson in the Together studio. We have a fun show. I got to bring some friends along with me today. Today we have two of my coworkers from the Ada Bible Men's Ministry. So today we have Ethan Cole with us. Ethan, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we have Vic Willis.
Hi. Good to be with you.
Awesome. Cool, guys. So this is only part of our Ada Bible Men's Ministry staff. We also have our illustrious, I don't know if that's a word he would approve of, but our leader, our director, our men's ministry director, Phil Niekirk. And we also have Doug Redford, who's been with the men's ministry for a long time. And we have our wonderful administrator who keeps everything together for us, Courtney Cooley. And so we have about half of our men's staff here today to chat with you. So we're going to start out just talking to these guys and getting to know them a little bit. So first off, I just want our listeners to know how long you guys have been with the men's ministry at Ada Bible Church. Vic?
Yeah, I am approaching a year and a half since we joined Ada.
Nice. And what were you doing before that?
I was a pastor in Durban, South Africa for 30 years. So this is my fourth quarter as I lean into ministry at Ada.
So yeah, a pastor for a few years in South Africa first. And so this accent you're hearing is genuine. It's not, he's not just doing a bit here. This is his real accent.
It took years to perfect.
Yeah. So you guys enjoy the smooth accent from South Africa as we continue to talk here. And Ethan, how long have you been with us?
Yeah, so I've been on staff about 2 months fewer than Vic. So I'm the rookie on the team.
Yeah.
And I served for about 10 years on pastoral staff north of Grand Rapids before this. But fun story, Vic and I actually met in South Africa before I came on staff at the previous church. So we knew each other way back when.
Wow. What were you doing in South Africa?
I was on a mission trip, spent a summer serving a missionary church planter east of Durban. And then they were in fellowship with a church that Vic was a part of. So we met while I was there.
Small world.
Yeah.
Small world. Awesome. So both of you have been pastors for a long time, really. Together, you guys have been pastors for over 40 years now. That's a lot of pastor experience. So let me ask you this, just for us to get to know you guys a little bit better. Say pastoring was off the table. You're no longer allowed to be a pastor. You can do anything else as long as it doesn't relate to being a pastor. What job would you guys take on if you couldn't be a pastor?
Yeah, so that's fairly easy for me. I would be a farmer.
Farmer, all right.
Yeah, I would get myself a big old tractor and a piece of land and a couple of cattle. And yeah.
Sounds like you've been reading these parables of Jesus too long. Oh, that sounds pretty good. I'll scatter some seeds. All right. Nice. Nice. How about you, Ethan?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, I played football, and I thought it'd always be super cool to be the long snapper of an NFL football team. I was a long snapper on our football team. Oh. I thought this would be a super cool, easy job that you could say you're a professional athlete. So,
hey,
like that would be pretty awesome.
Nice. I've never heard that answer, but that is a really good one.
I don't think I'm qualified, but
yeah, qualifications aside, that's a good one. Cool. I have an answer for that one as well. Actually, I think so we have had conversations in the past, the three of us, most of the time kind of joking around, but about doing something like creating a business where we take down trees, you know, just climbing up trees and cutting them down for a living. Just sounds like a good time. We've talked about starting a business together, maybe on the side, you know, just kind of in contrast to what we do now as pastors, working with our hands. You're still probably having to think quite a bit, you know, but trajectory more so than thinking about, you know, the deep things of the world. So that's always been a an I don't know, side passion, I guess, an interesting idea.
It scores some man points too, I think.
Sure, yeah.
Trees down.
Yeah. Carry a chainsaw up a tree. Got to score some man points for that.
Yeah, I'll direct from the ground.
There we go. All right, so coming soon, the Ada Bible Men's Ministry tree cutting service. We'll let you know when that takes off. Cool, guys. So talking about these jobs that are very different from what we do now. But let's talk about what we do now. Let's talk about men's ministry at Ada Bible. So to start out this part of the conversation, I really just want to read a couple statements. So a little while ago, we sat down as a men's ministry staff, and we looked at what are our goals? What are we trying to do? What's the purpose of having a men's ministry? And what do we want to see happen from it? So we have these mission statements, these goal statements. And the first one is this. It says, we desire to see men become Christ-centered, growing in affection, understanding, and application of God's word. So that's sort of our overarching mission statement. Everything we do as a men's ministry flows through that desire. We desire to see men become Christ-centered, growing in affection, understanding, and application of God's word. And then we broke that out into a couple different sections. And I'll tell you about those as well. So the first one is identity. And we want to help men see themselves in their story and also the world around us as God sees it, resulting in a stronger identity in Christ and a better biblical worldview. We also want to see relationships strengthened. We want to see men have healthy relationships as husbands, fathers, employees, employers, friends, everything. And then we also, a big focus of ours is men building their character. So we want to see men grow in godly wisdom, integrity, endurance, generosity, and service. And so those three categories, identity, relationship, and character, also sort of define and direct a lot of what we do in men's ministry. So that's sort of the overarching, the high view looking down. This is the why. This is what's behind what we do. Let's talk about what we actually do. What's the means by which we try and carry these things out?
Yeah, so one of the primary means that we engage in men's ministry is our groups ministry, and that's really a big part of what we do here at Ada Bible on the whole, but men's ministry in particular, we're focused on men's groups, and so as men's ministry pastors, one of the primary roles for us is equipping men's leaders, working with men's leaders, recruiting men's leaders, and equipping small groups. And we think transformation really happens best in relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that's really one of the primary parts of our job.
Absolutely. Yeah, and in those groups, we also write the curriculum that we have them go through in-house. That's a big part of our job. And we I think all of us really enjoy that piece of it too. We get to stretch our theological muscles a little bit and also just direct our curriculum that our guys are going through to the specific guys.
Yep.
Yeah. So we have groups. That's definitely, I'd say, the primary piece of men's ministry, but we have a few other things we do as well.
Yeah. So one of the things that I really enjoy is our retreats. We hold two men's retreats a year during the summer, and they're not just opportunities to fish and paddle around in a kayak.
They are that. But...
they are that, but they are also a sort of a deep dive into the heart of a man and helping them strengthen their walk with the Lord. And they're great times of fellowship. So I really like the retreats. And then, of course, we have Man Night, which we also are running twice a year. And those are evolving, but they are great times to gather men together, have fun, but then also challenge them with some aspect of the faith. And always good food.
Always good.
Eat a lot of chili.
Yes. Yes, one of our main nights is our chili cook-off, and it is a big hit, well-attended, awesome. Those are kind of our main roles as men's pastors. We also do some other things. I mean, Vic, you were talking earlier about care, how that's really a big part of our role as well.
Yeah, so we're, in addition to being on the men's ministry, we are also involved in the campus pastoral ministry as men's ministry pastors. We are pastors in our own rights, and so on our campus particularly, perhaps it's the same with you guys, is when a care opportunity comes up and it's related to a man, I normally get handed that opportunity, and I'm loving it. I'm finding that extends my opportunity as a pastor to just engage guys in their walk. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, as I think about our roles, it's like, that's where we get to be pastors. You know, we get to facilitate groups and write curriculum, and those are cool things, but where we really get to let our kind of pastor's heart shine is through doing care on an individual basis. Yeah. So that really, I feel like, unless I'm missing something, that feels like it encompasses sort of like men's ministry proper at Ada Bible Church. Those are the things that, like, when you look at what is the men's ministry at Ada Bible, that's what we do. But we're three men's pastors, three individual guys, and we each have kind of hearts that, you know, hearts for working with men, but hearts that that beat a little bit differently. So I'd love to hear, just in general, what are your passion projects right now? What are the things within men's ministry that you just really have your heart and stuff that you're really working hard towards? Ethan, you got one for this?
Yeah, I'd say for me, my personal passion project flows out of kind of who I am and the season of life that I find myself in. So I have a beautiful wife and three boys at home, ages 5, 3, and 8. And so they keep us busy. Mm-hmm. And so I've been burdened for their spiritual health as a dad. And in the previous role that I was in pastoral ministry, I served in youth ministry for a big bucket of my responsibility. And I just saw in that role the importance of fathers. Mm. So seeing it personally, experiencing it personally as a dad, I'm seeing it personally in pastoral ministry, reading, researching, it's very clear that fathers are very important in the home. Mm-hmm. And so in working with dads, working with men here, I've just grown a personal passion for fathers to thrive. Mm-hmm. And so in the small groups I work with, the leaders I work with, I think that passion and desire is echoed. There's a lot of men that see the value of the home and really want to do this well. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to work with a group of guys where we've been thinking about fatherhood here at Ada and how we can really come alongside of dads. And one of the kind of cool takeaways, it was just kind of a reflection point from the research we were engaging, the conversations we were having, and just thinking about fatherhood as a whole. You think about scripture, what scripture teaches, and we kind of, in a sense, we painted a portrait. If we could kind of paint a portrait of a father who's really thriving, mm-hmm. We realized that 80% of that portrait came down to character. It really was about godliness. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of the big portion of thriving as a dad. But there's this realm of intentionality. Mm-hmm. Father having wisdom to know how to open up the scriptures with his kids, mm-hmm. knowing how to lead his wife in prayer. Mm-hmm. And so intentionality plays a part. And you think about scriptural passages, the primary weight is on godliness and character, but there is intentionality mm-hmm. as well. And so I really have a burden, passion personally to be that sort of dad that's godly, thriving and walk with Christ and intentional in the home. And I really want to come alongside of other dads mm-hmm. and help in that way. So that's definitely a personal burden and I'd say a passion project of mine.
Man, I love that. I love that. And I love that 80-20 rule too. That's a good one. It makes me think of, I was listening to an old sermon by a pastor named Tim Keller, and he talked about how in the Proverbs doesn't necessarily give you guidance on like how to do things well. It talks about how to be a person who does things well. And so it kind of hits that, like it's really about the character of the person. And yeah, there is some, you know, you might help to know child development ages and what they're capable of at different times, but ultimately it's being of a certain character. That's awesome, yeah. Ethan. Vic, how about you? What's your passion project these days?
Yeah, so mine also, I suppose, grows out of a season of life. And stepping into this role, very different to what I had been doing for 30 years as a pastor of a small church. And when I first started engaging my guys, I knew what my job was, but I wasn't sure what my calling was. And it struck me one day that my reason for being here isn't to get more men who call themselves Christians into more small groups. Mm-hmm. But my role and my opportunity is to help the men who are there under my care grow deeper in their walk with the Lord. That has become my passion, is not more guys, but the guys that I have, take them deeper, help them grow and develop their spiritual muscle, their faith, their joy.
Yeah. Here's how have you been doing that? How do you call them deeper?
Yeah, not let them get away with things. you know, I enjoy the privilege, and it takes, this does take a bit of time to develop a voice that's maybe permission to speak into their lives. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that more and more, the more I get to know the guys, the more I'm finding myself loving them. These are not just men. These are brothers in Christ who I'm getting to know. And the more I get to know them and they get to know me, the more I feel I have their ear and permission to speak into their lives and to challenge them and to stretch them a little. Mm. Get them, you know, when they just give a glib answer, call them back to the scripture and say, what does it actually say? Okay, so what are you going to do about it? And just really find myself wanting them to live authentic Christian lives, you know, genuinely responding in faith to what they read, as opposed to just saying, well, I've been in a church for 20 years or I've been a Christian for 15 years. So what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus who lives by faith?
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's in some ways being that person that people love but also hate sometimes, you know, when you call them out, no, that's not good enough, dig deeper.
I think when you do it in love, and the motive is right, it's generally accepted well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a real gracious bunch of guys, I must say. They give me a lot of space.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm sure they appreciate you too. Well, my project right now, my sort of passion area, you guys know about this. We talk about it regularly, but sort of got tasked a while back to relaunch a program focusing on sort of sexual addiction, pornography addiction, mostly guys struggling with sexuality and looking for it in the wrong places. And so I got to kind of spearhead relaunching this program. We call it RSI. It stands for Reclaiming Sexual Integrity. And I got to write a curriculum that went alongside a book by Craig Groeschel called Winning the War in Your Mind. And then use some of my therapy background and also some of our retreat material that Vic mentioned earlier, and got to kind of create this product that I'm hoping to help guys just find some freedom from those things, not just an ability to stop a behavior, but some true freedom. And we have some guys, we're kind of beta testing it right now. We have some groups going through it, and it seems to be pretty helpful. But it's been fun to watch guys work through the material and start to see the things click, start to see things come together in a way that maybe it hasn't before. And so that's just been such a cool privilege. So we're just kind of getting that launched. It's not super widely publicized yet, but it's something that is sort of in that beta testing phase and seems to be going well. And if there is any guy out there listening who needs that, we definitely have space. So be sure to reach out and look for RSI. Even if you just go to the website and find men's ministry and sign up for a group, you'll find RSI there as well.
Nice plug, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, just under signing up for men's groups, you know, so if you're interested, while you're there, might as well sign up for that as well. Right. Got to make the plug while you have the microphone. Right. All right. So you guys have some awesome, awesome things you're working on. And I love what we get to do together in men's ministry. But this is a marriage podcast. This Together podcast is all about building marriages and helping them thrive. And so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about what we see as men's pastors at Ada Bible, what we see in the marriages of the guys that we work with, or even like Vic, you mentioned care, even just the marriages we see at our campuses. And let's just kind of dive into that a little bit. Where does marriage really kind of fit in with the work that we do?
Yeah, I think you guys would probably echo this, but I think we see marriages on the full spectrum of health and wellness. We have marriages that have ended in divorce or in the process of divorce. We have marriages that are struggling and kind of on the brink. And then we have marriages that are doing pretty well and thriving, really.
Sure.
So I see that in the life of our groups. I think each of us would acknowledge that. And so that's a dynamic that's at play. And but as we think about men's ministry, I think we have a unique opportunity to contribute to the health of marriages. And even though we don't necessarily talk about marriages specifically all that much, and we haven't developed a marriage curriculum, although that might be something in the future we do. But
yeah.
One of the things that we're passionate about, and it's the statement that we read earlier about kind of our mission statement, it's about helping men become Christ-centered men who are affectionate for God's word. And I think that's really where, it's where godliness begins and it's where a healthy marriage begins. Ooh, and yeah, so the best thing we can do as men is grow closer to Christ. And so I think that's our unique contribution to healthy marriages and men's ministry, is we're helping men grow into the likeness of Christ, know him, treasure him. And that's really, as we think about groups and small group curriculum, I think we have that in mind. And so again, even though marriage isn't necessarily the topic of choice every study, mm-hmm. I think we're working to strengthen marriages through strengthening men in Christ.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. That's really good.
Yeah, I would echo that completely. I believe that the best thing that we can do for marriages is help people be stronger in their faith, because that will work out into their marriages, which is their primary human relationship. Marriage is a testing ground of your spiritual muscle, and it's where it's proven.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Obviously, our goal is healthy men walking with the Lord, which should result in good marriages. And one of the interesting things that I've come across in my years of ministry is finding biblical material on marriages. And if you take your Bible and hold it up, you realize it's a big book. And there's only a tiny little section that actually speaks specifically about marriages. But here's what I've discovered about that. It's very clear. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5. And it begins from verse 21. It talks about submitting to one another. And what follows is a very clear, very simple model. The problem is not the model. The problem is the complex people. So we have a simple model, but complex people. If the model is found in Ephesians, where it is basically wives submitting to their husbands and husbands laying down their lives for wives, if that was followed perfectly in every marriage, you'd have perfect marriages.
We wouldn't have a podcast, right?
We wouldn't have a podcast on marriage.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a fantastically simple model, but operated and owned and adopted at various levels by very complex people. And so in a sense, our role is to help the men side of that duo to fulfill their function as to be Christ-like husbands, men who love their wives like Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, but men who also love their wives in a way that presents them to themselves as beautiful brides without blemish, spot, or spoil. And so building up our wives' esteem, loving them as Christ loved the church. In fact, being men who are easy to submit to. And so, as Ethan said, we don't specifically deal with the marriage talk in every conversation, but we talk about being Christ-like in 90% of our conversations, so that ought to bleed into that model. And as a result, we should find an impact in marriages throughout Ada Bible.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with that. It feels like, if we can build the character of the man and they bring that back to their marriage, we should see humility. We should see these things that make arguments so much less intense, and we should see things that it's not a complete folding over, or not speaking your mind or having emotion. I feel like that's the other side that we end up as men getting to, is this like stoic, never have any feelings, never share your thoughts or opinions, the strong silent type. And that's not what we're talking about either, but it's that Christ-like submission, that Christ-like, this may not be what I want, but I'm going to submit and lay my life down for my family, for my wife. I think it just fits so well with what you said, Ethan, earlier about in fatherhood. It's 80% character and 20% of that, of the intentionality, specific things. And as a marriage counselor, I talked a ton about the 20%, the communication styles and understanding each other in a different way. There's tons of that is out there. But if the character isn't there, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if you know that they're coming from an introverted or extroverted perspective, or how they're perceiving this or that. Their love language. None of that really matters if the character isn't there. And so building that character is definitely the primary piece. And like we said in our mission statement, that's what we focus on.
Right. And when we think about the health of a home, the heart of the matter really is the heart. And so when we think about men's ministry and helping people thrive in marriage and relationships, it's really all about the heart. And I think about my own life and seasons of life in which we've been thriving as a couple, as a marriage unit. It's been when we're walking closely with Christ and when our hearts are finely tuned to him. Been seasons in which we've struggled. It's been my own selfishness. It's been because of wandering and not being as close to Christ. And so I see that in my own life. I see that in the lives of others. And proximity to Christ, growing in godliness, really is the key to success in a healthy marriage. And so, like you said, that 80-20 rule that was true in parenting, I see that as well in marriage, that it really, the heart of the matter is the heart. And having a heart that's fully alive to God, growing in godliness, and as Vic said, really dying to self, that's the rub. Mm-hmm. Are we going to become the sort of men who lay down our lives for our bride?
Mm. Yeah, that's really good, man.
Perhaps as a motivational thought is, I like to pump marriage. Among my guys, it seems to be a natural thing for people, especially when marriage is tough for them, to speak down marriage and to speak negatively about it. And for me, it's the greatest thing ever. And I like to promote it as something that gets better and better. Mm. I'm approaching 40 years. We're a few months shy of 40 years of marriage. And I can honestly say we're having as much fun and enjoying our marriage as much today as we did 40 years ago. Mm. And it's all by God's grace. 100% on it. That's not cliche. It 100% is. And it has the potential to be awesome. And I think when we genuinely believe that, when it's a marriage of submission to one another in the atmosphere of grace, that's where it can go. So I want to encourage people who may be leaning out emotionally or giving up emotionally on marriages, don't do that. It can and it should be good. It's designed by God to be good. And the God is a God of redemption. He's God of healing. And the marriage relationship is the closest of human relationships and most precious to him. Mm. And that's why he describes that relationship between the church and Christ as that relationship. And I really just want to encourage people to just lean in. And if you need help, find it. Mm. It's out there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think oftentimes we run into guys who are at the end of the rope and just kind of going, I'm ready to call it in. I'm ready to head for the divorce or give her the separation or, you know, whatever the situation is. And I think that encouragement of stick it out, it's meant to be good. And oftentimes in those situations, we can't offer a guarantee, right? We can show in scripture what we're called to as men. We can point the model, like you said earlier, Vic, we can point to the model of how marriage is supposed to be. And we can point out that character is such a huge piece of that and really help guys build towards being better husbands. There's no guarantee that that's going to impact their wives, that that's going to turn their marriage around. Like you said earlier, Ethan, it's really when both parties are walking with Christ that marriages really thrive. And there's not always that guarantee. I think sometimes that feels like a risk, right? I'm gonna pour all this work into myself and she's not gonna do anything. And so why would I bother doing that? And it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. You're called to these characteristics whether you're married or not. But I think the operative thing here is giving your marriage the best shot that you have. The best possibility for your marriage to thrive is if you build your character like Christ and work on those things for yourself, despite not having a guarantee that your partner's going to do the same.
And I think there's a lot of simplicity and freedom in the dynamics that we're talking about here. Mm. I think if the focus is the heart and character and godliness, we still are free to long for certain results in the home. I think we should desire to have a healthy, thriving marriage.
Good point.
Desire to have kids that are thriving in their walk with Christ. I think that should be the aim of every parent and spouse. But at the same time, there's freedom in recognizing that my primary job in the home is about being a certain sort of person. Mm. And that's going to be where I'm going to devote my time and attention. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I want my kids to grow up to be godly men. I want my marriage to be thriving. But I know that the best pathway to get there is to be a certain sort of person, and that my ultimate responsibility in the home is just is being a godly man. And mm-hmm. so that's what I'm going to focus my attention on.
Yeah, really good. I think, Vic, you kind of said it earlier, and if you feel like you're working on the character, or you know, it's something that you are building, maybe you're part of a men's group, or you're just diving into scripture and really trying to build that, and it's that 20%, that communication piece that you're really struggling with, there's help out there. So just, it's in some ways, it's put the pride aside, and make the call, ask for help. We have these conversations all the time. You're not an anomaly that just doesn't get it for some reason. There are so many complexities. I think, Vic, you said it earlier, it's the model's perfect if it's run perfectly, but the complexity is within humans. And so there's a lot to that. So talking to a counselor, talking to one of us, a pastor at your church, there's no shame in any of that. It's incredibly valuable. All right. So you can kind of wrap up here as we close this episode. Any pieces of advice? So I think about, you know, you guys have both been married for a good amount of time and been pastors for a good amount of time. Any advice, just a piece of advice that you would give to a general listener about marriage that maybe has to do with men's ministry, maybe doesn't, but just a piece of advice that you'd want to leave our listeners with?
For me, I'd say as a couple, and then also just in the home environment as a whole, practice confession and forgiveness, because mm-hmm. you're going to bump into each other. You're going to wrong each other. You're going to say things that hurt, maybe accidentally or not. And just acknowledge that when you wrong your spouse, when you say something that hurts, you do something that hurts, own up to it and ask for forgiveness. And I think that's one of the most powerful things to keep a marriage and a family healthy. Mm-hmm. And your spouse and your kids, they know when you've done something like that. And so you don't need to try to hide it. I think of not too long ago, I was getting our kids to bed. And as is true in most homes, our kids didn't really want to get to bed. So they're slow to get in bed and they had a million excuses why they needed to get out of bed and all that. And I was getting a little impatient. And after finally getting them to bed, I came to realize that I'd been a little harsh with them in my tone and impatient. And so I realized I need to confess this. So the next morning our sons woke up and they came down the stairs, and I got on my knees and I said, buddy, I to our oldest, I came down and I said, buddy, I was impatient with you last night. And he goes, I know. So thanks. So it's like your family members know when you're off track. So just own up to it and ask for forgiveness. And I have found that dynamic of confessing sin and extending grace and forgiveness really breathes life into the home.
Love that.
Awesome. Yeah, that's very cool. I appreciate that. I fully agree with you. For me, take home advice is to men, make your wives your priority, not your work, not your kids, not your sport. Make her your priority, and her joy your priority. If she get to know her to the point where you know what she needs, whether it's encouragement, support, things that make her happy. Strive for that. And to the woman, the same with your men. Make them your priority, and look after that relationship, nurture it, tender it. And the parenting thing will follow. The joy of life will come. And that would be
love it.
My word for you.
Love it. Love it. Man, thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing some wisdom, talking men's ministry with us. Really appreciate you guys taking the time and being here. All right, listeners, that wraps up our episode of Together. Man, I pray that this has been impactful for you. I hope you've heard some good nuggets of advice and that this sticks with you. If you have any comments or questions, you can definitely reach out to us at care@adabible.org. Feel free to subscribe to our podcast and make any comments or likes on your listening platform. Until next time, this has been Together.
Thanks for listening to Together. We hope you've learned a thing or two. If you find the podcast helpful, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your listening platform, leave a comment, and give us a 5-star rating. If you'd like more information on Ada Bible Church and its ministries, or someone to pray or dialogue with about your marriage, go online and check out our website at adabible.org.